What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. A head on a Dave.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. This will be our last show of the year, Ray Hickson. It's been a good season. Found a few winners. Always room for improvement because you've got to tip 10 out of 10 each week. So
yeah, well, that's the eternal challenge, isn't it? Yeah, it's been a great carnival, hasn't it? It's amazing that we're at the end of November now and we're still talking about good quality racing. The Kembla Grange takes centre stage on Saturday. It's always good to get down there, actually. I don't mind winding up the carnival at Kembla. It's just a little bit different. I think I said that last week about Newcastle. Newcastle was a fantastic day and hopefully Kembla Grange has similar. And the Gong, well, isn't it?
Head scratcher?
Yeah.
We'll get to that pretty soon. So the track is a soft six. For people that don't usually probably bet at Kembla, when it can get wet, they do usually want to edge off the fence. It can get quite windy down there as well. So for a track like Kembla, it is a definite watch and adapt on the day. They can come down the outside fence if it keeps raining.
Look, that's right. I mean, the good thing about this at the moment is, as you said, Nick, we're a soft six. I think they had 14 millimetres overnight, but they didn't water all week. So that soft six might well be a soft five.
Yep.
Because the water's still to settle into the ground.
Absolutely.
So it really just depends. The forecast is having a little bit each way.
Yep.
With how much rain they might get.
That's not like them.
No, not at all. But, like when you've got a forecast of naught to 10, if you get naught, it's a lot different to if you get 10.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to keep an eye on it. And as you said, look, Kembla Grange, I think most people assume that when there is rain around, they'll will edge off the fence and they could end up quite wide later in the day. It really just depends on what happened between now and then. But, that just adds another little tough layer to trying to work out who's going to win each race.
In saying that, Kembla's by far one of my favourite tracks to bet at. I think it's a great track, big straight. Keen to get stuck into it. Let's start off with the headline act, which is the $1 million Gong. Firstly, I want to ask you, what do you do with Ossipenko, and have you found it, or have you looked somewhere else? I know you originally liked Spangler, but it's come out this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Ossipenko really does hold the key to the race. He's clearly the best horse in the race as far as, while he's not a Group 1 winner, he's got the best Group 1 form around him from this spring. Now, this spring really hasn't worked out for Ossipenko.
No.
I know at the start, particularly after his run in the Wing Stakes, I thought he was the Epsom winner.
Yep.
And they ended up heading down to Melbourne. Now, he was beaten, nearly two lengths by Mr. Brightside, Alligator Blood. Well, that second and third in the Cox Plate, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, that's as good a weight for age form as you're going to get. But it's 7 weeks since his last run.
Yep.
He's going to have to run on a wet track, which he has handled.
Yep, he's won on a heavy eight, yep.
Potentially a wet track. He had a setback, which saw him scratched from the Golden Eagle with a foot abscess, or it was officially declared lame on the morning of the race. So it hasn't been an ideal preparation for any race, let alone a mile, which is a strong field without being a Group 1 field.
Yep.
There's plenty of, as Brad Gray would say, red flags around Ossipenko. But he is the best horse in the race. He's got James McDonald and he's got blinkers on. Am I tipping him? No.
Yep.
I think basically what I wrote in my runner-by-runner preview was he's hard to beat, but he's beatable.
Absolutely. I agree. Look,
particularly with the little bit of rain around and the potential for there to be a lane somewhere in the middle for something to go on. I ended up landing on Detonator Jack, who I did tip in the Five Diamonds, and he ran well. He ran a nice third. I think just drawing a little bit off the fence here sets up well for him. He's that kind of horse that likes to wind up and, go through his gears, as they say. So, look, without being particularly bullish in the race, I landed on him to beat Ossipenko. I'm wary of Communist.
Yeah, it seems a few people hearing a lot about Communists.
The Golden Eagle form, from the little evidence we've got to work with, has stood up in the Gong. We had Counter Rupee run second in the Golden Eagle before winning it.
Yep.
And then last year we had Hope in Your Heart run fourth in the Golden Eagle before running second in the Gong. Now, Communist ran eighth in the Golden Eagle. He was beaten 2¾ lengths, but he did sit 3 and 4 deep on the pace the whole way. and he's stuck on really well. So maybe he's turned the corner. He's okay on a rain-affected track. He doesn't want it too deep, but he's okay on a rain-affected track. He can run well. The horse I'm really getting frightened of is Lock Eagle if he gets a run.
Starting to see this quite similarly. You're taking all the words out of my mouth.
Okay, well, maybe I'll let you say a few things.
No, just on the Golden Eagle. I wish the Japanese jet stayed around for the gong. The odds on. I agree with everything you've said, really. I can't add too much more about Ossipenko. You just have to ask yourself, do you really want to take $3.30 or horse with, you know, who's had setbacks, things haven't gone right? The real Ossipenko turned up, let's just say, he had the perfect preparation. He was fourth up into this, blinkers on. He'd just be the easiest bet of all time.
But if he'd had the perfect preparation, he wouldn't be running in the gong.
Exactly. So. But that's not the scenario we're faced with. And for $3.30, I would prefer to have different bets. So I lent and found Detonator Jack as well. Yeah, that on top. I thought he was really good there in the Five Diamonds in a race that was run just so slowly. It was a farcical tempo. It was just outpaced up tempo. But I really liked how he kept building, as you said, through his gears. Third fastest last 200 of the meeting. The blinkers go on. He's just that rock-hard fit horse that I think is going to really suit Kembla. And wet track, dry track, it won't matter. So I'm happy to be with Detonator Jack each way. But if Lock Eagle or the other horse, two emergencies, super helpful, I could back both of those at big odds. But Lock Eagle really interests me as well. $17 with no weight whatsoever, coming down the outside with Reece Jones off one of his career peaks. So if he gets a run, he's an easy bet for me to have, but he doesn't at the moment, so I'm going to lean towards Detonator Jack.
I kind of hope he doesn't get a run because I think he'll win the other race.
Yeah, but, there's a few people, I reckon, in the same boat.
I don't know that Super Helpful will actually go around because it's in a race at Canberra.
Okay,
on Saturday as well, but we'll wait and see there. Look, there's the potential for I think it's going to be a soft five at best.
Yeah.
So the potential for the sting out of the ground really does change the way I looked at the gong.
Yeah.
From first thought, I mean, I tipped Spangler in the hope that we might get a little bit of that cut out of the track and it brings those horses like him into it, and that's how it worked out. Unfortunately, bet certificate brought him out this morning. So it just makes me a little wary of, is Cepheus going to be suited?
I just don't think Cepheus can improve again. I think he has to improve another length to win this race.
He only has to hold his form to be in the finish. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And looking at his form, though, he's had six starts on soft and heavy tracks and yet to run a place. Now, perhaps looking deeper into that, he may not have been in the form that he's in now particular time. But that is a little bit of a small concern there. Now, new mandate number two, is he a Hawkesbury horse? He's had two wins in Australia.
The Gold Cup, that's a fair comment.
For two wins in Australia, both at Hawkesbury over 1,500 and 1,600 metres, and he had the heavy track there. Now, but does the rain-affected track bring him into the race?
Yeah.
A horse like Skyman, Palmetto, Kerwin's Lane.
Yeah.
Look at his mile record. Now, if they're a down-the-outside kind of day, does he come into the picture? Waterford with the sting out, is an inside gate against him. Wicklow, does it bring him back into the race?
Yeah, there's so many different angles.
Cuban Royale, the local hope. Now, he's 50-1.
Yeah.
But he's got form around all these horses. It's his home track.
Yep.
He won a race this meeting last year in the most deceptive finish I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody,
Broken Arrows won.
I don't think anybody on course thought he won the race. But so it really is a head scratcher. I think you're going to have to be a little bit versatile in your thinking. I think going all in early is probably not the way to go. I think we need to sit back and have a look at how the first few races unfold now, see what the track comes up.
I think this is probably the hardest out of all the features for me personally. And then you throw in Ossipenko, who's there's a couple of queries about. So it makes it really tough. But I completely get it with Ossipenko. He could just come out and win very easily. It's got the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup form, the SP profile against some very smart horses when you line them up against the rest of this field. So he'll be hard to beat. But Detonator Jack for mine and Lock Eagle if it gets a run.
Sounds good to me.
Now we'll tick over to, we're going to do the other feature, the Warra. So that'll be the 1,000 metre sprint. There's a couple of nice horses here. Really wide open market. 480 Brudenell been well backed in from $8 when they first opened up on Wednesday. How did you?
Well, again, see it? Now this potentially soft track has really changed my thinking here. I think we're unlikely to see Cannonball Run.
Yeah,
in the race, I think. Be surprised if he stays in the field with an option next week.
Yep.
Given that the stable is saying that all his best form is on dry tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I landed on Dragonstone mainly because of that sting out of the ground and that down the outside potential.
Yep.
Now, he's a horse that, listening to Tim Clark talk about him, Tim hasn't ridden the horse a whole lot, but his observations have been very interesting. He's a horse with a really good turn of foot, but with a limited turn of foot.
Yep.
So I think, and we might have seen that in the race, was it last year when he ran third behind Athelric?
Yes.
He came storming down the outside really late.
Yep.
And got within about 3/4 of a length. But, you know, it's going to be hard in your mouth sort of stuff with Dragonstone. He's going to be trying to attack them late, but he's got all the credentials. His soft and heavy track form is good. Again, not that we're going to be talking about a heavy track. His Kembla form is good. His 1,000 metres form is good. And his more recent form is probably the best in the race.
Yep.
Aside from, you know, take Cannonball's Group 1 placing out. Well, you look at his run third behind Buenos Noches in the Show County. I don't know how he led that day, but...
Yeah, I know.
and before that, he's chased home I Am Me. Now, both those horses have run second to Imperatrix.
Yep.
Recent starts, who's rated the fourth best horse in the world apparently now. So, that means probably nothing when it comes to this race, but that's how I landed. I thought that the dangers, well, there are plenty of them. Brudenell, I respect with that lightweight.
Yeah.
Sting Out's no problem with him. And Insurrection's another one who's. He's finally drawn a barrier, but is that going to be a plus for him?
I think he probably needed the run first up Insurrection. This looks the real target second up.
And look out for, particularly if they are down the outside, look out for 11-11.
Yep.
Now, he's 20-1 or something in the current market.
But he'd been last year, the year before.
2 years ago. He's been to Kembla Grange 4 times for 4 wins.
Yep.
All over 1,000 metres, including this race 2 years ago. Trials have been all right. He took on a couple of big races in the Brisbane winter at his last prep. Just wouldn't shock me. It's a real horse you've got to throw in your quaddie if by this stage of the day they are down the outside, because that's just going to suit him. But Dragonstone for me without a huge deal of confidence.
Yeah, I've gone with Brudenell. Look, I think the $8 early was a bit better than now it's into the 480, but... Look, I just think he's, as you said, he's really well weighted for a race like this. I like just his last win before he went out for a spell. That was a career peak figure, but I just thought it was really brave. He ran very fast time there. Rain affected ground will not worry him at all. I loved his trial the other day. Just thought it trialed really well. I think he's ready to go. Barrier 3. The early prices are just going off there for Gosford. Barrier 3. So coming out of that 1,000-metre shoot, I don't, even if the fence is a bit off, I don't really mind that from the inside draw. You can just edge off there and find a back to follow from that shoot. So I'm happy to be with Brudenell. I think he's a good bet. There obviously is the case, if you like Brudenell, you have to like Insurrection. Yep. You can tie them right in from last preparation. But I'm happy to be with Brudenell. I think we'll get better on the day. So it'll be my tip. First up, one first up, last preparation. So keen on him in the Warra. Now, for the Fly and the Oatman and the head-to-head, I'm going to put them together this week. Ooh. Because, bear with me, Emperor is the shortest price favourite on the day at this current time, 10:31, and the head-to-head is first Headwall, because they're starting to come a lot closer together in the market. Was it one of these two you went with, Ray, or did you go something a bit wider?
I spent probably more time on this race than any other. Trying to work out which one of those two I was going to put on top.
I feel like most people, I think they've... Well, I don't need to be Captain Obvious, but they just stand out.
Yeah, look, I landed on Headwall eventually. And that's largely because I think that if the track is going to be a little bit trying, it probably suits him a little bit better. Matt Dunn was going to run Emperor in Brisbane and then elected... to run him here because it looked like Brisbane was going to be a significantly wet track. Now, still may well be. We're not sure what we're going to get with this horse, with this track on Saturday yet. It might be around a 5 or 6.
Yep.
Or if they get a bit more rain, it might sort of 10 to a 6 or 7. And you know, I got the impression from Matt Dunn that that's probably not ideal for him.
Yep.
I also got the impression that he's still building his fitness.
Yep.
So he won that highway soft as you'd like to see.
Yep.
Like, it was such an easy win, it's ridiculous. So there's no surprise that he's come up favourite there. Headwall's got some pretty good credentials himself, though.
Yep.
Particularly, he has one at Kembla. He has one on all surfaces so far. He seems to have come back a little bit stronger.
Mm.
He's got a form around Airman from 2 starts ago. He gave Airman 4 kilos. And I think Blake Spriggs may well say it probably wasn't his best ride on the horse. He jumped really well, then he pulled him back and he ended up leaving his run a bit late, being beaten a length. So that's a pretty good reference. That tells you that he's a pretty handy horse on the way up. So that's why I went that way. It wouldn't shock me at all if Emperor sweeps down the outside and, you know, picks it off late.
Yep.
I'd be saying Headwall will hit the front first.
Yep.
And it'll be a matter of whether Emperor can run him down.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen, Headwall. Purely, I just think there's a little query on Emperor, as you said, with the sting out. And, you know, the Kembla's not a real drying track. So if there is a bit more rain, I think we can... They're going to really want to get their toe into it. But yeah, Emperor I thought was very strong in highway grade, returning as a gelding there. But I'm all about Headwall here. I thought the trials have been okay. But first up, last preparation, you just look at its run there. It wasn't suited to the race shape. Checked and blocked at a critical stage. But just once it got clear, I just really liked how it wanted to hold its action. It's just a real improving type for me.
Yep.
I read your article that you put up before. That was just another big tick for me, how Matthew Smith's quite keen and said that he's come on and improved. Perfect map. The wet track's ideal. So in a race that I only think there's 2 real hopes, and I've got a query on the short price favourite, on the track condition, I'm quite keen to back Headwall, and he will be my best bet of the day. Down at Kembla, I really liked another one in Junqueira, but the wet track's starting to get me a little bit concerned. So I'm happy to make Headwall my best bet down there at Kembla.
Sounds good. Now,
as we move into the rapid fire, over the odds, there's plenty of options here you could go with.
Yeah, plenty of options for over the odds, and I think it's going to be Spengler, unfortunately,
yeah.
But that's kind of changed. Why don't you go first here while I just reconsider?
Yeah, there's a horse called Run With The Tide that ran at Rosehill, it'll be 10 days ago tomorrow. I thought he returned really well there first up in a strong rating race at Kensington as a gelding, which is the big factor for me. And then last start, as I said, at Rosehill, I just want to be really forgiving. He was actually well backed, but I think he's a horse that actually resented not leading. So I think they would definitely lead back to the home track on a quick backup, down 6.5 kilos. I think they should just light him up between that 600 to 200 and try and steal the race from there with no weight on his back. And I think he's about $8, $9 now. So I think for one with a bit of value, he's a good each way play there.
Sounds pretty good to me. Look, I'm going to go to the highway, I think. Now, I'm tipping Tribeca Star on top. I have to stick with him. But the horse I'm frightened of is number 7, Our Orator. Now, I know Brad Gray found it as well. It's pretty hard. His run was pretty hard to miss in the highway a couple of weeks ago, won by the Dramatist.
Yep.
He did start 50 to 1. He drew barrier 15 of 16, and Dylan Gibbons had no option at all but to go back.
Yep.
He just dragged him back, and the runs didn't really come when he wanted them to. He went to the line full of running, beaten a length in a bit. He only has to repeat that kind of performance, I think, to be running second at worst.
Yep.
Tribeca Star is Matthew Dunn's leading country championships horse for next year.
Okay.
So he's sort of heading that way. He did get whacked with a decent penalty for winning that highway last start. He jumped from a rating of 70 to 75.
Yeah, so he's gone up 2.5 kilos.
So he's gone up to 2.5. It's got a one-eye blinker on barrier 1. Whether that's a plus or not now, I don't know, but it's only going to be barrier 2, so race 2. So Our Orator, I thought, was the best overs there, because if he runs up to that last run, then he's I think, a single figures chance.
Yep.
Rather than the, you know, 15 or 16 to 1 that he is now. But like I said, I was tipping a Tribeca Star in that race.
Yeah, interesting. I've made Tribeca Star my unders, just purely for the fact of the price, like as we always talk about. Look, he did it against the pattern that day, but I just think it might have looked a little bit better to the eye than it was against the clock, just that flashing white. So I just wanted to look for something else, and I actually came up with Associate, a horrific draw.
May not be, but...
That's right, correct. But it was in a Wagga Guineas. It's got really good form. It was at Randwick in its first and second preparation. It's just incredibly well weighted here with 51.5 for a lightly raced galloper that's on the improve. So around, I think it was $11 last time I checked. I'll pull that up now. $9.50 now.
Okay.
I think it's worth maybe something there. And I agree with you, our orator. So if I was going to play the race, maybe you could have something both on those. But your unders?
Well, Ossipenko.
Yep, it's fair.
I think he'll drift.
Yep.
Particularly if there's a distinct pack. No, I've tipped him second. I respect him. And as we've said earlier, there's absolutely no reason why he can't win. But there's just so many negatives. They have to back a few other horses here.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if he is into starts with a two in front of his name, it could be look out.
Well, that's right. So, I'm thinking he'll probably start with a four.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
Because there are plenty of options here to have a bet. There's so many horses with chances that have had less hurdles, so shall we say, this preparation.
Yep. Now, out wide, anything else?
Yeah, look, there were a couple of horses at Newcastle on Sunday that I didn't mind. Body of Venus is a two-year-old from Nathan Doyle, who was scratched from the Max Lees Classic last Saturday due to drawing the outside barrier.
Yep.
It's a filly. It's come up with barrier one in a 900-metre two-year-old maiden on Sunday. She's only had the one trial. She was really good in a four-horse trial at Warwick Farm, just jumped and ran. And, you know, that's what you like to see. And you can imagine she'll do the same. Look, it's not going to be a walkover by any means. There's a couple of handy-looking two-year-olds having their first start, particularly one called Skogafoss from Godolphin, who chased home Stormboy in its latest trial. And Stormboy looks to be a very, very promising horse. We haven't seen race yet, but if his trials are any indication, it's going to be something. The other one, I'm not sure... I don't think I've seen prices for Newcastle yet, but Rapidash, race 5, number 5. Lyle Chandler trains this horse, had two starts with two wins in the country. It looks really promising. It has come up with an outside gate, but it's shown versatility in both its starts. It's gone back. It probably looked better when it went back and won, but it sat handy and won its second start. So those are the two I think I'd like to look out for at Newcastle on Sunday. Not sure about prices just yet, but Body of Venus and Rapidash.
Yeah, two out wide for mine. They're just coming through a really strong Goulburn race, and I'm happy to back both in maidens. I think if you listen to the podcast last week, I liked one called Stern Words, and it won that maiden that I'm talking about, and it was narrowly beaten by, I wouldn't even call it a pimple. So I was on the floor on Friday afternoon just before I was about to drive to Canterbury. There's a big difference there. But there, two of the horses coming that I'm talking about will be in Orange today, race 2, number 10, Tokyo Ice. Look, they went up a good price, $3.20. It is about evens now, but I still think evens is fair enough for this horse. And then all the way on the Sapphire Coast on Monday, race 5, number 3, Laguna Seeker. So I just really want to trust that race in the form and happy to back them both in, I think, very winnable maidens. I would say that Goulburn race, they're stepping back. I know it's a maiden, but stepping back in grade, how I'd like to word it. But best bets over the weekend.
I'm not bullish, but my best bet at Kembla Grange, I'll go with your blessing. Race 3, number 3.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about a little bit of sting out. That's fine for him. He's had the two runs back. Look, it's fair to say he had his chance last start.
I think he needed it.
But that's right. I think he needed it. Talking to John Thompson, he said he came back after that race and had a really good blow that surprised him.
Yep.
He thought he was a little bit fitter than he was. He's added the blinkers on the advice of Josh Parr as well. So blinkers, third up with extra fitness. Sting out, no problem. Obviously, we're not sure where Contemporary's going at this point. He's in two races still. But either way, I think with your blessings, best opportunity to win a race. We're going to lose Dynamic Impact and Cheerful Legend from that race, I think.
Yeah, Cheerful Legend. They're both in at Canterbury tonight.
So this race is going to fall away a little bit. So race three, number three, the best with your blessing for Kembla.
I do hope Canterbury does stay in that race because I think it's holding too much percentage. I agree with you with your blessing. And as I said, run with the tide before. I don't think Contemporary is that good with the sting out. I think it's a real dry tracker, but that's it. Looks a good bet to me, Ray. But like last week, I'm going to have four best bets.
Okay, four of them.
In order. So Orange, race two today, Tokyo, race two, number 10, Tokyo Ice. It's been well found now, but I think it's going to be hard to beat. I'll be doing Canterbury tonight. So race three, number six, Chul from the Godolphin Yard. I think needed the run there first up. It'll be much closer tonight and be hard to hold out around the 5-2 mark. Then we move to Saturday, Kembla race nine, number five, Headwall, who I think is over the odds and I think will start favourite. And Sapphire Coast, Monday, race five, number three, Laguna Seca. So we've got Friday covered, Saturday covered. You've covered Sunday with Newcastle and then Monday if you've missed out as well. So plenty of action and bets.
Sounds good. Well, as Nick said at the start, that's the end of the B set for 2023.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll be back bigger and better next year. Yeah, look, it's been a good carnival. It always, you know, it seems to get better. Who knows what we're in for over the next couple of months leading into the autumn carnival, which really starts in early February.
It'll be here before we know it.
It comes around pretty quick. But good luck to everyone out there having a try at Kembla Grange or wherever else you're punting this weekend.
Yeah, thanks everyone also for listening on in, and hopefully we can steer you into a couple of winners. And thank you, Ray, for it as well. It's been good fun, and good luck on the punt over the weekend, obviously over summer as well.